Our morning, today's daf in Nazir is Samech Vav. Otherwise known as the last daf in the Masechta. We are today on the Mishnah on Samech Emed Beis. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Let us take a look at the second to last Mishnah of the Perek and of the Masechta. And today we'll also see, hopefully, the last Mishnah and a very brief and popular sugya at the end of the Masechta as well. This Mishnah, again, has nothing to do with Nazir, just like the previous Mishnah. Had nothing to do with Masechta Nazir, but the Mishnayos in the ninth Perek of Nazir got caught on this term, on this expression, Raglaim L'davar. So Raglaim L'davar is basically another way of saying Chazaka, that once there's a general presumption, so we're going to maintain with that presumption. And so the Mishnah over here is going to give a couple of examples of Raglaim L'davar. We start off with a Mishnah. I would say most people are familiar with this Mishnah. It comes up in the beginning of Kiddushin. I'd say most people involved in learning are not holding by Masechta Zavim. So I'm going to include myself in that list of people who are not well versed in the Mishnayos and Zavim. But those who have learning background and certainly have seen the first daf in Kiddushin. So here the Mishnah is quoted. Mishnah is quoted over there for a totally tangential reason, having really nothing to do with the Mishnah. The first Mishnah in Kiddushin uses the expression drachim. Actually, it doesn't use the expression drachim, but anyway, the word derech is the reason why it comes up over there in the beginning of Kedushin. In the meantime, the Mishnah starts off, B'shiva drachim botim asazav, ad shelo nizkak lezivo. The seven ways that we're going to examine a zav until he is declaratively a zav. Okay. In general, I think we could all get like a basic training in terms of the halachas of zav and zava. A zav is a man who has a discharge, and a zav is a woman who has a discharge. Our comments today, our learning today, is going to be focused primarily on the man and not of that of a woman. A man has two types of discharges that come out of his organ. One is called shechvazer, the other one is called zav. The shichvazer that comes out is a regular seminal discharge that comes out of a man, and the zav, a discharge that comes out of a man, is not the same. Really, in three different ways, the zav discharge is different than that of a shichvazer discharge. Number one, in terms of the viscosity, the viscosity of the zav that comes out is runnier, it's looser, so to say, than that of the shichvazer. Number two is the color of white. The zav is a little bit paler. And number three is in terms of the aver itself. The shichvazer only comes out from an aver kasha, and the zav can come out from the man, the aver, whether it's kasha or whether it's not kasha. The basic differences between a zav and a shichvazer anatomically, biologically. In terms of halacha, so basically it runs like this. A man who has a shichvazer discharge, so the man himself is tameh, but only Tomas Erev, only until the evening. Tov in the mikvah, he'll wait till Harav Shemesh, and he'll be Tahor. A man who has a Zav discharge, one Zav discharge, is treated basically the same. Not basically, is treated the same. Meaning a man who has a Zav discharge is also going to be Tameh Ad HaErev. The complication comes about when a man has a second and a third Zav discharge. If a man has a second or third Zav discharge, so then for the second discharge, he's going to be now a Zav, a major Zav, who in order to become Tahor, is going to need to have seven clean days. Clean meaning not having a discharge during those 7 days. If he has a discharge during those 7 days, so depending on what the discharge is going to be, so he may have to go back and start counting all over again. On the third Zav discharge that the man has, so not only does he need Shiva Nikim, does he need seven clean days, but also he's going to have to bring Karbanos on the conclusion as well. Okay, the difference between a man and a woman in this respect is many. I'm just going to highlight a couple of the major differences. As it relates to a woman, so when the woman discharging, so for her, it's not, anatomically, that which comes out of her is going to be dam, both for her becoming a nida and for her becoming a zava, as opposed to the man, where, as we pointed out in the beginning, there are actual anatomical differences between shichvazer and zav. So that's number one. And number two, the major difference, which really what we're discussing today, is the following. As opposed to a woman, Before we get to the major difference, one other basic difference that between men and women in terms of zav and zava is that for a woman to become a zava gadola, a quote unquote a major zava, so she needs to have a re'iyas dam ziva. She has to have the zav discharge coming out of her on three consecutive days. Meaning, for just in one day, if it comes out three different times, that does not make her a zava gadola. It has to come out on three consecutive days, as opposed to the man. So for the man to become a zav, so it doesn't have to be on three consecutive days. Could be in one day, could be in 2 days. It can't be broken up by a day, but in other words, for him, it's the number of times that he has a zav discharge. It has to be within a period of 1 or 2 days, or if it's three days. But in other words, unlike a woman, where a woman only will become a zava gadola if it's on three consecutive days. That's another major difference between a man and a woman in terms of the zav zava. For the woman, by the way, I'm going to say this parenthetically, it's not the time to focus on this, but for the woman, her zava discharge renders her a tmeya only when she has the discharge during her yemei ziva. The schedule is 7-11, 7 days of nida, 11 days of zava. But again, it's just that's not going to be our focus today, but just another basic idea, just something very basic in terms of understanding the difference between zav and zava. But really, another basic difference between a man and a woman in terms of zav and zava, which is what we're focusing on today, is the following. A man is only going to be rendered a zav by having a zav discharge if the discharge comes out, quote unquote, normally, naturally. There was no external force precipitating the discharge. If there was an external force precipitating the discharge, so then the man is not rendered a zav, even though he may have an actual zav discharge. But if there was an external force causing it to come out, so then that doesn't render him a zav. It has to come out, quote unquote, organically. It has to come out naturally. That's not true by a woman. A woman who has a zav, who has a zava discharge, so regardless of what the cause is or why it comes out, if she's discharging on three consecutive days, she's a zava gadola. Okay, a very basic fundamental difference between a man and a woman as it relates to zav versus zava. Okay, with all that stated, now we can take a look at our Mishnah, and we can see the Mishnah inside. Shiva Drachim is both getting the zav. There's 7 ways where we're going to examine the zav. Ashlo nizkak laziva, before he's a confirmed zav. Meaning, again, the whole point the Mishnah is going to make is similar to the previous Mishnah and the Mishnah before that. And that is, we work with general assumptions, presumptions. Before a man is established as a zav, so there's going to be certain benefit of the doubt. After the man is established to be a zav, there's no longer benefit of the doubt. That's the basic point of the Mishnah. And now, to get into the details of the Mishnah, we're going to now look at seven different scenarios where the determination is that because he's not an established zav, and because there were external forces causing the zav, causing him to have that discharge, so therefore it will not render him a zav. So b'shiva drachim botkim as a zav shalom nizkak laziva, and the seven things that would generate him to be a zav, and these are considered quote unquote external causes. Now, external versus internal over here is not to be taken super literally, because as you'll see, some of them are not really external. So for example, the first two, machal v'mishta, eating too much and drinking too much, that's considered an external cause. Okay, in other words, when you eat, obviously you're taking the food you bring inside of you. Same thing with drink. But nevertheless, that is considered an external cause in the world of Zav. And if a man has a Zav discharge because he ate too much or drank too much, so that's considered external. And as a result of that, he's not going to be rendered a Zav. Just as this is not even a parenthetical note. This is, again, another basic idea as it relates to Ziva, a man becoming a Zav, and that is that for the first Re'iyah, for the first discharge, we're not really going to make a distinction between whether it was external or whether it was internal cause. Because the first discharge of a Zav is really treated the same thing as a Shechvat Zera. Meaning, when it comes to Shechvat Zera, the man's Tameh. When it comes to the first discharge of a Zav, man's Tameh. But that's only Tumas Erev. That's only Tumah until the evening, again, toddling in the mikvah and waiting till Harav Shemesh. This discussion that we're having right now is to render him a major zav, meaning with a requirement of waiting Shiv Nikim 7 clean days. So for really we're focusing on the second discharge that he's having. And for the second discharge, it has to come out Migufa Velo Me'onso. and it has to come out from him, but not from external causes. So, macha v'mishta, if he eats or drinks too much, masa, if he's carrying, kfitza, if he's jumping, uvecholi, if he's sick, uvemara, vehirhor, or he sees something, tosis over here, discusses, he sees either a man and a woman having relations, he sees animals having relations, hirhor, or he's engaged in thoughts of also intimate behavior. So in all these scenarios, if the Zav discharge that he has can be attributable to any one of these seven factors, it's considered me'onsa v'lo megufo, an external caused Zav, not an internal cause Zav. And as a result of that, it will not render him to be a major Zav, having to wait shivanakim for him to become tahor. Misha nizkak l'ziva. But now the Mishnah gives the flip side. But once he's confirmed to be a Zav, meaning he had the two re'iyas or three re'iyas, and now he's a definitive Zav. So at this point going forward, now he is not given the benefit of the doubt. Ein boken oso, we don't do a bedika. Meaning if he has a discharge, a Zav discharge, we assume it's a Zav discharge. And what does that mean? Meaning he's already a Zav. So what does that mean? It means that he's counting Shiv Nakiyim. It means that we're now going to assume that they're not Naki. They're not clean days. And now he's going to have to go back to day one and count from day one all over again, meaning the next day, right? Tomorrow. Tomorrow he's going to have to start day one all over again. And we do not, at this point in time, make a determination, well, maybe it came from an external source, an internal source. At this point in time, in Bokino, so we don't do Bedika. Onso, Usfeko, Ushikhva Zero, Temeim. If he was an ones, meaning after a being confirmed a zav, at this point in time, if the discharge comes out ones, meaning again external causes, safek. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss what that means. Shichvat zaro. If the zav has a shichvat zaro emission, so in all these cases he's going to be tamei shiraglayin ladavar, because now since he was a confirmed Zav, so therefore now he's under a presumption of being a Tamei, and as a result of that, he's not given any benefit of the doubt. Adkan, the first case of the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah gives one more example of this raglayin ladavar, amakis chaver v'amdu lamisa. Let's say a person gives a friend of his a hit, and it's a serious, significant, critical hit, v'amdu lamisa. And at that point in time, he didn't die instantaneously, but the hit was such a blow that it was a critical hit. We had the doctors come, give an evaluation, and they say, yeah, he's gonna die. He's not dead yet, but he's gonna die. And that was the kind of hit which was critical. And then, v'haka mimasha haya. And then what happened is that he didn't die yet, and in fact, just he went the other direction. He got a little bit better. But then, but then afterwards, he went back into critical condition, and then he died. And so now, so we know that you kill a person, so you're chayv misa. That's a capital crime, you're chayv misa. But over here, we're not 100% sure if it's your blow that caused the death. So you did give him a real shot, and at first he was dying, and then he got a little respite, a little bit better, and then he went back into critical condition. So the Mishnah says, are you the assailant? Are you going to be chayev? So the Tanna Kama says, yes, you are chayev. And Reb Nechemiah Omer Pater, and Reb Nechemiah says, no, you're going to be exempt from raglayim ledavar. Now here, it's interesting. The raglayim ledavar over here can literally go in either direction, meaning whether you're the Tanna Kama or whether you're Reb Nechemiah. If you're the Tanna Kama, the raglayim ledavar is focusing on his original condition. His original condition after the blow was he was in critical condition. So according to the Tanna Kama, raglayim ledavar. The raglayim ledavar is telling us that you put him at risk of death. You put him in critical condition. Yeah, he had a little bit. He got a little bit better before he died, but raglayim ledavar, you hit him. And Reb Nechemiah literally goes in the opposite direction. The raglayim ledavar over here will tell us, no, you're not the one who caused him to die, because he did get a little bit better, and that getting a little bit better now is a good indication that it wasn't your hit that caused his death. Okay, so here it's really interesting. And by the way, the Gemara doesn't discuss this at all. I mean, this case, the second case in the Mishnah, Gemara spends no time focusing on. First case in the Mishnah is really going to be almost the totality of today's daf. So let's go over the first case of our Mishnah. Most of today we're discussing the halachas of Zav. So it's really, again, almost nothing to do with the halachas of Nazir. But again, the Raglan Ladavar has got what got us to this discussion. Not immediately.
Yeah. The Zav, and then in the 7 days he has a seminal discharge.
If he has Shechvat Zera, that does not so, sir.
He's not Sosa, but what is, if he doesn't go to the mikvah for that, there's no point.
I mean, he could go. He's telling me anyway. Would there be? I can't off the top of my head think of a reason why he would be going to the. What benefit he would have going to the mikvah? Okay. All right. So, how do we know this? Meaning that as it relates to a man having a self-discharge, again, for the first discharge that he has, it really doesn't matter whether it was beratzon, ba'ones, external, internal forces, doesn't matter. In other words, for that first zav ri'iyah he had, he's going to be a zav. It's the second one now becomes critical. And the distinction we're making is that for the second one, if it was migufo, if it was internally caused, with no external forces whatsoever being applied to the man, so then he's now a zav, a major zav, who has to weigh shiva nikiyim. If, on the other hand, it was external causes that caused them to be a zav, so may right, may own so, like the Mishnah said, seven examples that are given, so then he's not a major zav, and he does not need to weigh shiva nikiyim. So the Gemara says, how do I know this? And really, incorporating the Gemara's question is the following. What about the third ri'iyah, the third discharge? Meaning, let's say he had first two discharges and they both came ugufo, no external causes, he's now a zav, a major zav. And he has to wait shiva nikiyim. As we're about to see in just a moment, for the third discharge that he had, and what's the third going to do? It's going to require him to bring karbanos. The difference between two and three ri'iyos is that for two, he just needs shiva nikiyim. For three, he needs shiva nikiyim and karbanos at the end. So now all the Gemara is going to do is give us a source for this halacha. How do I know that? So Amar Rabbi Nasan, Amar Krav, Hazavet Zavo, L'Riya Shishis Hitkish L'Nekeva. So we know because Hazavet Zavo, that's two mentions in the Pasuk regarding Ziva, and that means that when it comes to the third, so for the third, the man is going to be like a woman. In this respect, just like we discussed in the beginning of the shiur today, when it comes to a woman, her Ziv discharge does not factor in whether it was internally or externally caused. So for the man, for his third discharge, it's not going to make a distinction whether it was internally or externally caused. That's the Gemara's drasha. And so therefore, for the third ri'iyah, all the third is going to do is require him to bring a karbon. He's already a Zav requiring to wait shiva nikiyim. So for the third ri'iyah, so we have a... men and women are equatable in this respect. So the Gemara says, "Va'atayin." The Gemara quotes the Brisa, Rabbi Elazar, "Omer b'shlishis bot kenoso, b'rivizim bot kenoso." According to Rabbi Elazar, even for the third ri'iyah, there's a bedika. There's an examination in order to determine whether it's internally or externally caused. Because according to Rabbi Elazar of the Brisa, even for ri'iyahs for ri'iyahs two and three, it's going to depend on whether it was internal or external. And according to Rabbi Elazar of the Brisa, if ri'iyah number three was externally caused, he does not have to bring karbanos. So the Gemara says, "Ela be'esin kamifligi, Rabbi Elazar darsh esin, Rabbi Elazar darsh esin." And the Gemara says that in terms of explaining this machlokus between the Tanakhama of our Mishnah and Rabbi Elazar, it's just a question of whether we darshan the word es. Look back at the pasuk that the Gemara quoted, "Hazav es zovo." And that S over there is a ribui, or at least according to Rabbi Elazar. So really, it's Zav is one, S is two, Zovo is three. All three Re'iyahs have to come, or I should say again, Re'iyahs number two and three have to come, Migufa v'lo me'onso. That's according to Rabbi Eliezer, because he darshans the word S. On the other hand, the Tanakhama doesn't darshan the word S. We see throughout Shas, it's a machlokus, whether you darsh S or you don't darshan the S, like Kabed S avicha v'es imecha. Classic example. The S over there is a ribui. It's coming to include your older brother, your step parent, your stepfather, your stepmother. Anyway, so over here the chachamim don't darshan the word es, so therefore zav es zavo. That's only two references. So you're only bodek for the second time, not for the third time. Okay, onso is sveiko. Okay, the Mishnah said that once he's this. I assume the Tanakhama. I assume so. On the side of the Gemara it says Rabbi Eliezer. So then I for sure assume it's going like the Tanakhama, not like Rabbi Eliezer. Onso usfeika. We're now in the top of Samach Vav Amud Aleph, and we're understanding now the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is contrasting before he's established to be a Zav versus after he's established to be a Zav. So again, before he's established to be a Zav, so for the second Re'iyah, so we give him benefit of the doubt, and we do Bedikas, and we make sure that the second discharge that he had came from Migufa V'lo Me'onso. And if there's any one of the seven causes that caused him to have the Zav discharge, he's not going to be a Zav. That's before the presumption of him being a Zav. After he's presumed to be a Zav, so then the Mishnah says, no benefit of the doubt. So the Mishnah starts off by saying we don't do bedikas. That part's easy to understand. When I say easy, I mean in the context of this whole discussion. Meaning, we get it. We're not going to make any differentiation between whether it's external or internal. But then the Mishnah then goes on to say, onso usfeko. If it's ones, which again, that part we know what it means. It means that even if it was externally caused, it's not going to render him a zav. But then the Mishnah says, and the suffix as well. What does that mean? Amareva. That is what the Gemara now is discussing. The very top of Samech Vav Amud Aleph. Lo tema safek chazak, safek lo chaza. We're not talking about maybe he had a discharge, maybe he didn't. And that's the safek. Okay, the Rava says that's not what we're talking about. Alavad chaza. He definitely saw. Ela safek machmas shechvazera, safek machmas re'iyah. But here's our suffix. Our suffix is that he had a discharge. It's not perfectly clear what exactly came out. Remember, for the man, as we discussed in the beginning of this year today, there are two distinct liquids that are coming out of him. One is what's called shechvazera, and the other one is what's called zav. And again, anatomically, biologically, they're different than one another. Viscosity, shade of color, they're different. They're different than one another. So over here, the man had a zav discharge, but the suffix is we're not perfectly clear what exactly came out. And that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is that once he's in a presumptive state of being a Zav, so at that point in time, if we're not sure what has come out, so then at that point in time, he's rendered we're going to suspect or assume that it's going to be Zav, that was discharged out of him. What does that do at that point in time? He's a Zav anyway. What it does is it knocks out his Shiva Nakiyim, meaning he was counting seven clean days. If during any one of those seven clean days he had a Zav discharge, back to day one. Next day is going to be day one, and he's got to start the count all over again. Masha Enkain, if he had a Sheikh Vazera discharge, it's not going to be so Sosh of an Akim, it won't knock off the seven clean days. That's what Suffolk means in the Mishnah. Okay, next part of the Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah is going to be complicated, because next part of the Mishnah told us that once he's in a presumptive state of being a Zav, so then his Ones, his Suffolk, and his Sheikh Vazera is going to be Tamei. His Sheikh Vazera is going to be Tamei. Now, again, just basic information, basic ideos. Okay, when it comes to a man having a Sheikh Vazera discharge or a Zav discharge, there are really two things to talk about. Number one, the man himself. Man himself is Tamei, meaning when he had a Sheikh Vazera discharge, he's Tamei. Got a Tov on the mikvah. That's one issue. And the second issue, it's not a secondary issue, but the other thing which to focus on is the actual Sheikh Vazera itself. The actual Sheikh Vazera itself is an Avatuma. So that means to say that if anyone comes in and touches the actual Sheikh Vazera itself, so that person's tummy, because the Sheikh Vazera itself is also an Avatuma. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that when he's a confirms of, so his Sheikh Vazera is going to be tummy. And that's going to prompt the Gemara to ask the obvious question. Obvious meaning, what's the Mishnah focusing on? A Zav having a Sheikh Vazera discharge, anyone who has a Sheikh Vazera discharge, the Sheikh Vazera is going to be a source of Tumah. Lamai. Ilema Lamaga Migara Mi Sheikh Vazera de Tower. What's the Mishnah telling us? That if he's a confirmed Zav, and he has a Sheikh Vazera discharge, and we know it's Sheikh Vazera. It's not even up for issue, discussion. It is a Sheikh Vazera discharge. And what's the Mishnah telling us? Oh, for him, his Sheikh Vazera is going to be a source of Tumah. The Gemara says, that's true by any man who has a Sheikh Vazera discharge, where the Zera is going to be an Avatumah. What's the difference? And not parenthetically. And the Gemara is telling us that the Sheikh Vazera is metame bimaga. In other words, the way to contract that tumah is by contact. So Elo Zera shows up metame bimasa. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah is telling us the following chiddush, that when he's a confirmed zav, and he has a shechva zera discharge while he's a confirmed zav, so it's going to be metame not only b'maga, but also b'masa. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. To which the Gemara itself also kind of balks at that suggestion. So the Gemara says, can we identify who's the author of that opinion? The Gemara says, is it the following Brisa? Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Shechva Zera Shel Zav in a Metame B'masa. So first of all, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is that the Shechva Zera of a Zav is not Metame B'masa. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's not even a discussion to get started with. He's of the opinion that the Shechva Zera of anyone, even a confirmed Zav, is only Metame B'maga. So it's not Rabbi Eliezer. Moving along, Rabbi Yeshua, Omer Metame B'masa. And Rav Yeshua is of the opinion that no, when you are a confirmed Zav and you have a Shechva Zera discharge, that Shechva Zera is Metame B'maga Uvemasa. But why? Lefi She'i Efshar La Belo Tichsu Cheziva. Because it is simply impossible. Simply impossible for the confirmed Zav to have exclusively a Shechva Zera discharge. Meaning, must be that Shechva Zera discharge, because he's a confirmed Zav, and because he's quote-unquote recovering from being a confirmed Zav, so it must be that this that which he's discharging must be some sort of mixture of Shechva Zera and Zav. And the difference between Shechva Zera and Zav is Shechva Zera is only Metame B'maga, and Zav is Metame B'maga Uve Masa. So the Gemara is saying, according to Rabbi Yoshua, it is Metame B'masa. But why? Because according to Rabbi Yoshua, the general assumption we're going to make is that there must be some sort of Zav mixed in with the Shechva Zera. So the Gemara now points out, Afilu Rabbi Yoshua lo amar ala mishum tichsu cheziva. Even according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's true. Once the Zav has a Shechva Zera discharge, it's going to be Metame B'masa. But that's not specific to the Shechva Zera. That's simply because we're assuming that there's Ziva mixed together with the Shechva Zera. So that can't be what our Mishnah here in Nazir means. Because our Mishnah Nazir seems to be indicating that there's something special, unique about the Shechva Zera of a Zav. But even according to Rabbi Yeshua, that's not true. It's only just because we assume there's Ziva mixed together with the Shechva Zera. Ava Be'in Elom. I'm sorry. Avaba ina lo amar. Ella amar avada bar ava lomar she'in tolin ba. So avada bar ava says that there's no tliya. We don't literally hang ourselves on it. What does that mean? Gemara discusses. Savra papa kamen de rabbi lemeimer aydi chul shahu de chazei. So. The Gemara assumes that it's a result of chulsha. It's a result of fatigue and illness. Amalei Rava Vatanan Rava says no, that's not true. We have the following Mishnah: Girshin is gai mitame miyad b'ziva. What about the following? The Mishnah in Zavin. Now this, by the way, yesterday I admitted I did not do my homework. Today, I did a little bit of my homework. The Mishnah in Zavin, the second parak has the following discussion. Okay, well, let's, for a moment, I brought my Mishnah with me. Let's for a moment take a look at the Mishnah together and look at the Mishnah in the original. The Mishnah, the previous Mishnah, meaning this is this, we're in the second parak of Zavin. The previous Mishnah goes on to discuss what we discussed in the beginning of today's shir. B'shivat derechem botkin as zav, achal nizkat laziva, machal v'mishnah, masav, mekfitza becholi ve, uvemare, uvehirhu. Okay, so the previous Mishnah, Zavin, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, talks about the bedika that you do for a zav to make sure that the zav discharge comes out internally, not externally. Okay. Moving right along, and the Mishnah gives the contrast once he's established to be a Zav, so we don't do a Bedika. Okay, right, meaning it's identical to our Mishnah. Fine. Then the next Mishnah, excuse me, this is the third Mishnah of the second Perek, discusses the following. A man had a seminal discharge, right, Bal Keri. So, the general assumption, says the Mishnah, is that for the next 24 hours, although it's subject to a machlokas, but let's right now just go over the opinion of the Tanakhama, for the next 24 hours, he's considered in a fragile state, in a weakened state. And as a result of that, because he's in a weakened state, if he has a Zav discharge within 24 hours of having a Sheikh Vazera discharge, that will not render him to be a Zav, because he's in a weakened state. Meaning, it's complementary to the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah tells us that if there's any external cause in terms of what brings about the Zav discharge, he's not going to be confirmed Zav. He's not going to be a Zav Gadol. The Mishnah is telling us that him having a Shichva Zera discharge is going to put him in a general weakened state, so that if he has a Zav discharge within 24 hours after that, it's not going to put him in a state of a... it's not going to put him in a position of being a Zav. As I mentioned, it's a machlokas. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yomo. Rabbi Yossi says he has till the end of the day. Not perfectly clear why that should be, but in other words, whenever he has a Shichva Zera discharge, when you get to the nightfall of the next night, even if it's within 24 hours, that's it. In other words, he's rejuvenated, so to say, and after nightfall, according to Rabbi Yossi, any discharge that he has after that is considered internal, not external. Fine. Then the Mishnah cites the following halacha, which is what the Gemara here is quoting. And the halacha goes like this. Let's say you have a non-Jew who, before conversion, had a Shichva Zera discharge, and then he converts immediately after the Shichva Zera discharge. So, miyadhu mitame biziva, as opposed to a Jew who is given the 24 hours, according to the Tanakhama, or the end of the day, according to Rav Yossi, and that any ziva that he has after that is going to be considered in a coming from a weakened position, coming from an external cause, for the gir shel gayer, the Gemara says, we do not make that assumption. That's the Mishnah in Zadar. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava Vatana, gir shel gayer metame miyab ziva. So when you have a non-Jew who converts, so immediately is metame b'ziva. So Amar Leh, to that he says to him, "En lecha choli gadol mizeh." What are you talking about? That is when a person converts, right? The excitement / stress / right the anxiety that in, understood anxiety. I don't mean in a negative sense, but the understood anxiety. So ain lecha choli gadol mizeh. That's a chola. Meaning, if anyone can say that the Zav discharge is coming as a result of an external cause versus an internal cause, for sure the gear who is gayer, that's considered an external cause. Ella tanai, so the Gemara says it's subject to machlokas tanai. The tanai will learn to nebraisa shichva zera shel zav metame b'masa kol me eis leis. The shichva zera of a zav is metame b'masa for the 24-hour period. So in other words, the Gemara shows us that there is an opinion, the Tanakhama's opinion, that says that when you are confirmed Zav and then you have a Shichva Zera emission, although normally Shichva Zera is Metame only Bemaga, not Bemasa, over here it is Metame Bemaga Uvemasa. So we have an opinion. Rav Yossi Omer Yomo. And Rav Yossi says, no, only for the end of the day. Now the Gemara points out that in terms of understanding the duration of how long it is where the Shichva Zera coming out from a Zav is considered Mitame B'magav Amasa, is it the full 24 hours or is it only to the end of the day? So the Gemara points out that this is subject to an issue that Shmuel dealt with in terms of resolving Pesukim. One Pasuk says, Ki Yebecha Isha Shelo Yetor Mikra Laila. So the Torah describes a person having a seminal discharge. Uksiv lifnos erev, yirchatz b'mayim. Another pasuk says, right before evening, he's going to tov on the mikvah. Man damar meisleis daik melifnos erev. So the one who says that's 24-hour period, so he generates from the words lifnos erev. V'idach daik mikro laila. And the other one who says, no, you only have till nightfall, so that's because the pasuk says mikro laila. Well, man damar melifnos erev haksiv mikro laila. So the Gemara says, now, if you focusing on lifnos erev, what do you do with the pasuk of mikro laila? Amarle orche dekra, orche dekeri lamasya balaila. He says, look, the Torah is just talking about, generally speaking, when do men have a Shichva Zera discharge? At night. That's the only reason why the Torah describes it as Mikra Laila. Okay. Adkan. So again, just quickly to summarize. The Mishnah gave two more examples of Reglaim Ladavar. One example of Reglaim Ladavar, which is what we spent the last 30 minutes discussing was the when before a man is a confirmed Zav, so we extend benefit of the doubt. So that means that if he has a Zav discharge that would have made him a major Zav, requiring Shiv and Akim, you do a Bedika to make sure that the Zav is coming internally, not because of external causes. Once he's a confirmed Zav, so therefore there's no longer a benefit of the doubt, there's no longer a Bedika. If he has a Zav discharge Ba'ones, it's still considered Ziva. If it's a Suffolk, like we described earlier today, where we don't know if what he discharged was either Shechvazer or Zav, once he's a confirmed Zav, we assume that it was Zav that came out. And finally, the Shechvazer is Tamei. And what the Gemara just concluded is that when the Mishnah is telling that the Shechvazer is Tamei, it means not only Tamei B'Maga, but also Tamei B'Masa, because now he's a confirmed Zav. So all these are applications of this idea of Raglaim L'Davar. Once you're confirmed Zav, so no Bedika, doesn't matter if it's Onis Baratzon, Safek, we're gonna be Machmir, and in terms of the degree of tuma, it's metami both b'maga v'masa.
For confirmed ziva, is there a time period for another one?
It has to be within 3 days in order for him to be confirmed. Or I should say, no, for the two re'iyas, it has to be within 2 days. But it could be even on 1 day.
So by the third one, is it 24 hours after?
If it's
after confirmed ziva and then 24 hours after.
If it's after 24 hours, so all it's going to do is just going to knock out the Shiv and Akim. But it's not going to have him bring a carbon. In order for him to bring a carbon, the third one has to come within 24 hours of the second one.
So it would count against 7 days.
Yeah, we're correct. Correct. That's just give me 1 second. And the second example that the Mishnah gave us, which the Gemara did not discuss at all, is the example where a man hits another person, critical blow, and then has a little recovery, and then goes back into critical condition and then dies. So do we assume that the assailant is a murderer? So once again, the Gemara here uses Raglaim L'Davar, but as we pointed out, it can go in either direction. You can argue that Raglaim L'Davar, that it was a critical blow, or you can argue the other way. Yeah, Danny.
How can the opinion of just weakness be considered? Because weakness is not mentioned in the Mishnah as one of the 7 ways to become.
Right, that's correct. Meaning, right, it should be, I guess you'll file it under Choli. Right, right. Okay.
Used the word eight. To make it three.
Right.
So how do you explain
the S? Well, they're in Darshan, meaning the S is just a conjunction in the Torah, or in this case, an article.
Huh? Chacham never Darshan.
Yeah, right. We talked about this a little bit earlier, meaning, right, it's a machlokas throughout the Gemara, whether you Darshan, you do not Darshan the S. And sometimes the Gemara Darshans it without any challenge whatsoever. Okay, anyway. So the final mission on the Masechta, Nazir Haya Shmuel, Kedivrei Rabbi Nehorai. So Shmuel was a Nazir, yes or no? Now it's interesting, the final mission on the Masechta does take us back to the discussion of Nazir, which, you know, is good, it makes sense, meaning that's the Masechta that we're dealing with. But it's interesting, it's a really historical debate. And generally speaking, whenever we have an historical debate, the Gemara's usual reaction to that is, "My dahava hava." Look, it's good, it's great. You know, what difference does it make to us? Meaning, not that it's unimportant. Of course, it's important. But in terms of halacha, what impact does it have on our lives, whether or not Shmuel was a nazir or not a nazir? Okay, and
if you say like I'm like Shmuel.
All right, correct. Yeah. Oh, very good. Very good. Right, that would be a good nafkamina. So Nazar Ayashmol Kedivra Rabbi Nehorai Shenemar Morel Omor Lo Yale Al Rosho. Okay, before Chana gives birth to Shmuel, so the instruction was Morel Lo Yale Al Rosho. So Nehemar B'Shimshon Morev and Nehemar B'Shmuel Morev. So when it says the word Morev, so what is it a reference to? Well, it's not perfectly clear, but the Rabbi Nehorai says that, look, by Shimshon we had the word Mora, and over there it's in the context of Shimshon, for sure we know he's a Nazir. That's clear, that's abundantly clear, that Shimshon was a Nazir. So the assumption now is that Shmuel is a Nazir as well, because the same word is being employed, even though by Shmuel it is not perfectly clear, it's used in the context of Nazir. Meaning, the basic machlokus over here is predicated on the fact that the Torah doesn't use the word Nazir ever as it relates to Shmuel, unlike Shimshon, where we know he was a Nazir. Ma Mora Amur B'Shimshon Nazir, Av Mora Amur B'Shmuel Nazir. Okay, so I guess we'll call it Gzeira Shava. if that I'm using that word not technically, right? Not halachically, but in this context, we're just simply saying if the definition in one place means a nazir, so the definition by Shmuel also must mean nazir. Amar Rav Yosef Alo in Mare Elashim Elashabas Vadam. No, you're misinterpreting Mare as it relates to Shmuel. The word Mare as it used to Shmuel is Basavadam, meaning Mare in this context means fear, like Mare with an aleph, right? Yira. That's what Mare means. Now here, admittedly, it's spelled Mem Vav Resh Hey, not Mem Vav Resh Aleph. Yira is spelled with an Aleph. Here, Mare is with a Hey. But Rav Yossi says, but that's what it means. So Amalei Rav Nurai Valok Var Nemar Vayom Shmuel Echelech V'Shama Shal V'Hargeni. So Shikvar Ayala Mare Shal Basav Adam. So to that, Rav Nurai says, I don't think you're right. Because let's think about what happened over the course of Shmuel's life. In other words, if you're right, Mora means he's not going to fear any man. Meaning what the Navi is telling Chana is that you're going to have a son who's going to be impervious to fear. Never going to fear anybody. But we know it's not true.
But then Mora here is with an aleph.
Right.
Mora there was with a hey.
No, I agree. But what Reb Nurai points out is that let's take a look at Shmuel later on in life. Shmuel later on in life says, you know, you want me to anoint David HaMelech? I can't. Because if I anoint David HaMelech, Shaul is going to hear and Shaul is going to kill me. What's Shmuel doing over there? Expressing fear. So how can you be right? How can you make the suggestion that Shmuel is never going to have fear in life, when meanwhile we see over the course of his life at least he's afraid of Shaul? Okay, I guess maybe you could argue that in general he's not going to fear people. Shaul was the Melech. Okay, you can argue in that general route. Okay. Amar Rav Chia Rav Lechia Brei. Okay, popular discussion. Anyone who's heard of Seem at the end of Nazir, you've heard this discussion. Rabbi Chia says the following. Rav says the following to his son Chia. He named his son after his uncle, right? The uncle of Rav was Rabbi Chia, right? The contemporary Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and so it. We find throughout the Gemara he had a close relationship with his uncle, so it would make sense that he would name his son after his uncle. So Rav says to Chia Brei, Chatof Ubarech, give him the following advice in life, and that is that when it comes time for benching, so back then they always would bench a la coast, they would always make the bench over a cup of wine. Nowadays even though it's a halacha, it's not practiced very often. Some people do it when they have a minion, some people do it when they have three. Okay. But anyway, in this context, it means as follows. When there's an opportunity for benching, so you're either going to be one of two people. You're either going to be the one who's benching, or you're the one going to be answering amen to the benching. Again, and that's something that we do nowadays that they did not do back then, is that nowadays everybody benches. Back in the good old days, that's not the way benching was set up. The way benching was set up was one person's going to bench, everyone's going to listen, everyone's going to be intent on being motzi the benching, and they're going to answer amen to all three brachas. And I know there's a fourth as well, but the fourth one came at a later point in time. All right, let's say all four brachas. You answer amen to all four brachas, and that's it. And that's how benching used to be. And because it's hard for us to pay attention, this is not a modern phenomenon, although it is. It's hard for us to pay attention. So nowadays, the minhag is everybody benches, and we don't do like they did in the good old days. But in the good old days, one person would be benching, and everyone else should be answering amen. Where should you be on the, should I be benching or should I be answering amen? So Rav's advising his son, you should be on the side of benching. You should be the one making the brachas and let everyone else answer amen. That's Rav's opinion. V'chein amalei Ravuna l'Rav Abrei. Ravuna says the same thing to his son. Chatofu barech. That you should be the one benching. Meaning you should be the one making the bracha and let everybody else answer amen. The Gemara says, okay, now clearly both Rav and Rav Huna both seem to be of the opinion. And by the way, Rav Huna was a student of Rav, so that works out well. They both seemingly are of the opinion that of making the bracha or answering amen, which one is better? Making the bracha is better. The Gemara points out, but we have a brisa. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Gadol, Ona, Omen Yosef, Mena Mavarech. Rabbi Yossi says that greater is the one who says amen more than the one making the bracha. V'amalei Rav Nuraya, Shamayim Kachu, Teda. Sharei, Gulyarim, Mitagrim, Mechama, V'giborim, Notzchim. And the Gemara says, and look, when you have a field battle, so what do you first do? So you send out the first line, then the second line, and you know what's going to happen to them. And then, right, I don't have to say. But in other words, okay, and then what? So now after you wear down the enemy, then you bring out the giborim, then you bring out the giants, and you know the cavalry, if you will, and they're the ones now who are going to really, really defeat the battle. And in this analogy that the Gemara gives, so the Mevarech, that's the front line. What an interesting analogy. The Mevarech, the one making the bracha, that's the front line. Okay, well, you know, whatever's going to happen to him. And the one answering Amen, he's really winning the battle. So the Gemara says, so that's the analogy of Rav Yossi, answering Amen is better. So really now what you have now is Rav and Rav Huna both making a statement that's going against that which Rav Yossi says. So Tanaihi. So the Gemara says it's really a machlokus. Tanaim. Detanya echad mevarch ve'echad oneh amen b'mashma. Elo shemamarin lemevarch tila. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa says that both the mevarch and the one answering amen is included, but the mevarch is better because he's the one who is memayer. He's showing a certain amount of zeal, alacrity in him making the bracha. He's zrizim, if you will, in doing the mitzvah, and so therefore he's better. So the Gemara points out it's a machlokus. Machlokus Tanayim, whether the Mavarich is better or whether the one saying Amen is better. Okay, there's one more line. We'll save the line for a possible seam in the future. But Adkan Masechta Nazir.